Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know the passage is the story of David and Goliath. And it doesn't matter where I travel in America, I find that non-Christian people know two stories. They know the verse that says, money is the root of all evil. And I always have to explain to them, that's not the verse. It says the love of money. And then they know the story of David and Goliath. And all these motivational speakers and people that want to encourage others come up and tell these stories and encourage you to be David and Goliath. And after all, if David did it, you could do it. And that's not what the story of David and Goliath is about at all. And sadly now, we've sort of bought into the world's version of it. And for the next few minutes, I want to ask you a very simple question. Have you got God on your stones? You say, what? Have you got God on your stones? Let's read the story. Stand with me if you would, please. 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 40. Speaking of David about ready to face Goliath, he says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. Now that's just an amazing statement. He's about to go against a 10-foot giant that has the armies of God terrified. His presence is so intimidating that all these trained warriors are cowering. And the Bible says they're literally fleeing from this giant. David says, I'll handle it. He chooses five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on, drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Now here's David out here with a shepherd's rod and a bag full of stones and a slingshot. And here comes the Philistine, all clad in his bronze and all the things that he has, 10 feet tall almost, and David's going to have to take him on. And the Philistine said unto David, looked about, and David saw he disdained him, for he was but a youth and had sundry and of a fair and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine, get these next words, underline them, cursed David by his gods. The world wants to put their God up against your God. David knew that. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, and I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And here's the key. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The Philistines had their God. And David said, I want you to understand, that's not God. And I come to you in the name of the true and the living God. And you're not going to see what a boy with a sling can do. You're going to see what a kid with God on his stones can do. Let's pray. Father, speak to us. Thank you for all the kindnesses they've shown my soul. God, you know and I know I'm not deserving of this. Our whole ministry depends on the kindness of these churches, and thank you for what my friend Rex Paris did. Father, now I pray in these next few minutes, you'll speak to our hearts, and we'll leave here touched by the power of the Word of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're sure living in an unusual day. And God's people in America, as never before, are being challenged. And suddenly they're saying, we got our own code of righteousness. Now, it's not the code of righteousness found in Scripture at all. But man, they've made a faith and a religion out of it. And they want to come up against your God. And the question is, formidable as they are you ready to do the impossible when this world brings it on? We know some things about David. In fact, next to the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us more about the life of David than any other character in Scripture. And God did that for a reason. He tells us a great deal about this battle. Two armies pitched over the Battle of Elah, the Battle of Blood. And in that valley, they were formidably going at each other. But the opposition, the Philistines, have got a giant that's intimidating. And he's challenging. He says, you think you're something? You think you're God something? Well, just send somebody out here. Let's do this one-to-one. If I win, you serve us. And if you win, never going to happen. But if you do, then we'll serve you. And David shows up on this field. Now, we know some things about David, and I want you to write four things down. Because I promise you, every child of God wants to be used of God. How many of you want God to use you in life's battle? You want that. I do. Here's the first key. David didn't start doing impossible things when he showed up and took on Goliath. David did impossible things in everyday life when no one was watching. What'd you say, Brother Gibbs? David did not start doing impossible things when he faced that giant. David did impossible things in everyday life when no one was watching. You know the story. He's brought in before King Saul. And he says, I'll go handle this guy. And Saul says to him, what in the world makes you think you can do this? Well, look at verse 33. Because it's found in this passage of this same chapter. David shows up, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, David, kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, for he hath defied the armies of the living God. David, let me get this right. You're a shepherd. Watching your father's sheep, not your sheep, your father's sheep. And a lion and a bear comes out and grabs some. Now, if I'd have been there, if I'd have been the shepherd, and a lion or a bear grabs one of the lambs, I'd have said, bye-bye, lamb. You think that I'm going to hazard my life and try to do something impossible to save a lamb? And you know what? God's people have gotten comfortable in everyday life just handling it for themselves. And then all of a sudden you have something large and intimidating and something critical. And then you come to God and you say, now I gotta have you. And God says, you don't understand something. You needed me all along. When is the last time that you got out of bed and said to God, I don't want to do one thing today except by your power? Good. By the way, I want you to look at some scriptures with me. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to mark two of them. Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now God says, I don't want you doing anything without me in it. But then look at verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, now underline whatsoever, that means everything. And whatsoever ye do, do it as heartily to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, and ye serve the Lord Christ. When's the last time you cleaned house for the Lord? When's the last time you did everything? It doesn't say do the critical things. It doesn't say do the frightening things. It says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. That means with everything you have, as to the Lord and not unto men. Well, yeah, but man, I know how to do a bunch of stuff, Brother Gibbs. I've been at this for a while. I candidly don't need God all that much. Lord, let me explain it to you. I can handle about, 70, 80% of life. And if you just kick in for the part that's got me wowed, that's the partnership I'm looking for. You are never going to bring down Goliath. God says, I'm looking for somebody who's got me in everything. Everything. Had a man in our ministry who drove me a great deal. His name was Clark Block. And Clark would show up, and I lived 85 miles from the airport in a lot of winter days. And one day I went out to get in the car, and it's 5 a.m, and Clark said, Brother Gibbs, I've already driven to the airport because they're saying some of the roads might not be open, and I just wanted to be sure they're open. I said, you did what now? He said, I got up this morning, and I drove all the way into the airport just to be sure the roads were open. I said, Clark, you didn't have to do that for me. He said, I didn't do it for you. I did it for Jesus. He said, Brother Gibbs, I love you, but I do it for him. And he said, there's no way I didn't want my Lord to get to the airport. Whoa. We have a man in our ministry by the name of Jim Coates. 30 years a pilot in the Army. He has every hero and citation award you can get twice over. His bravery and valor shot down 3 times. And now he's with our ministry. And when I call Jim, I say, Jim, I need you to do something. He always says the same thing. Brother Gibbs, I don't care what it is, it's a done deal. What do you want? I said, Jim, how can you say that? You don't know what I'm going to ask. Oh, he said, it's simple. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm doing it for Jesus. And so whatever you ask, I'm doing it for him. Is that you? How did you get so comfortable on your own? How did we get to where I can handle this? My goodness. David had an absolute for sheep. Now, no one was there. No one even knew he did it. I want to tell you right now, if I'd have killed a lion and a bear, I'd have called you all. I'd would have want a picture moment. I'd want you there saying, wasn't that something Brother Gibbs did? And you'd miss it all. You see, he didn't do it for the sake of the sheep. He did it for the sake of the Savior, that he was serving, watching the sheep. One of our secretaries, Shirley, I came back into town late at night. My flights were delayed, Rex. And by the time I got there, it was about 3 a.m, and I'm going by the office, and there's some lights on. And I thought, who left the lights on? And I pulled in to go check. And I walked in and walked around a corner. And I scared myself. There in front of me, on the carpet, on her knees, was my secretary, Shirley. I scared her. She yelped. I yelped. We're looking at each other. And she's on her knees with two buckets and three or four toothbrushes. And I said, Shirley, what are you doing? You know what she said? I am so sorry you caught me. I said, I caught you doing what? She said, Brother Gibbs, when they clean the carpets here, they don't get the edges. And these carpets belong to Jesus. And I come in here at night, and I clean them just for him. I scrub all the edges. I said, Shirley, how long were you at the office today? She said, about 10 hours. I said, how long have you been up here on your knees? She said, about 5. She said, Brother Gibbs, don't take this away from me. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for him. Now, if I'm cleaning carpet edges, man, I want the newspaper out there. I mean, that's just too, How did we get so comfortable handling life ourselves? You want God in those Goliath moments? You got to put God in the everyday moments. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily unto the Lord. Now, I want to confess to you here. My problem is the phones just ignite. And all these briefs I got to read. And all of a sudden it's just, I've got to get to another airport. And it's just raining all these responsibilities. And my mind goes off. You will never do this by accident. That command, whatever your hand finds to do, is written in the continuum. God says you do it. And you keep doing it. And when you find yourself run off the rails on that, then stop and get back and say, forgive me. I want to do this for you. My wife and I, we don't get to go to church together a lot, especially since she's been sick. But before we go into church, she'd always pray the same prayer. God, let the preacher reach us. We want to listen for you. What kind of prayer did you pray before you came in here? I'm afraid too many times I've walked into church and it's kind of like, okay, let's see what you got. God says, stop it. You want some God in something? When it's huge, you got to put God in it every day. Write the second thing down. Number one, it's in the everyday. Number two, he got offended for God. Now, if you're only going to hear one thing, please catch this. David wasn't offended for him. He was offended for God. But be honest, when is the last time you got offended for God? When you said, that offends my God, and because it offends him, it offends me. The scripture says, Romans, abhor that which is evil. There's to be a revulsion in us, an absolute revulsion. Well, I'm telling you, those transvestites, they just irritate the fire out of me. Those crazy left-wingers, all of these different things. All of these Baptists skating off in crazy direction, it just galls me. When's the last time you got upset for God? When you said, this offends my God. I want you to read where David did it. Go back to your Bible again and look at verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 22, pardon me. David's gone down to deliver his father's goods for his brothers in the army. And David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, he beheld there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, that's some of them, all of them, when they saw the men, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now, these were brave men. These were soldiers. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that came up? Surely to defy Israel, he has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies? Say out loud the next words, of the living gods. Hey, listen, that you offended me, that's a nothing. But that you offend God, that's everything. We were in a severe legal fights in Ohio over Christian schools. And a man by the name of Pastor Lawrence Oney out of Alliance, Ohio, took a stand. And boy, were they ever sued. Lawrence Oney was esteemed in his community. He was a dear friend of the governor. He was one of the men that you'd see in the news when they needed a comment. They'd run to Lawrence Oney to get comments to put on all of the stations, and he was an amazing man, a wonderful Baptist preacher. Well, the governor called Lawrence Oney in. And he said, I want you to come down here, Lawrence. I'm a friend of yours, and I'm going to bring the attorney general in, and you bring Mr. Gibbs. I need to talk some sense into your head. And we went in. And the governor said, now, Lawrence, I don't know what got into you, but you need to get it out of you. And the attorney general said, I will put you in prison. Do you hear me? And I will get everything you have. That church of yours, and it was a large church. If I recall right, it was 2,000, 2,500, maybe larger. And then he said these words to him. When I'm done with you and it's all gone, you'll be too old to do it again. You need to back up and stand down. Lawrence Oney began to cry, and he said, you're right, I'll be too old to do it again. But he said, I want you to hear me. I will sell that church brick by brick before I give in to you. I will use every power I have to stop you, because you are an offense to my God. And the attorney general said, you don't mean that. He said, hand me your pad, I'll write it down for you. He said, your problem is not me, mister, your problem is God. And you have offended him. And for that reason, there is no way I will back down if I have to lose everything. We walked out of that office, and Lawrence Oney pulled me aside and he said, pray for me, David. I want those words to be true. I meant them. But he said, I'm afraid the thought of losing all our buildings and everything terrifies me. But he said, if I'm not willing to lose them, then God needs to give them to somebody else. He said, I have got to honor an offense against God. Whoa. Cleveland Baptist Church, Pastor Folger's here now, Roy Thompson, he would walk up to these people and he would say, "You better understand something. You got God against you." And they would say, "You don't want to say that." He said, "No, I want to say it again." And he would say it again. I remember when we went with my mother in a wheelchair to talk a man into giving her some buses so that our church could start a bus route. And we went in to see the man, and he said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And my mother looked at him, strapped in a wheelchair, and she said, "I just want to tell you one thing. When you stand before God and you die, he is going to be awfully upset with you that you didn't give me those buses." I thought, lighten up, Mom, come on. Good grief. And I started to say, "My mom, you know, being a lawyer, you want to interpret for your parents." And I said what she meant to say, and my mom said, "David, be quiet. I said what I said." And she said, "I'm telling you, the God I serve is offended that you could do something to help save the lives of thousands of kids, and you won't do it." Whew. He said, "I don't know what to do with you." My mom said, "Give me the buses." He said, "Okay, I got a question for you. If I give you the buses, who will drive them? You're in a wheelchair." She said, "Oh my goodness, you're right. I need you to give me buses and drivers." She said, "That's what my God wants." Who are you in there for? What are you doing? Man, if you've got God in everyday life, and are you willing to take a stand for something that offends God? You watch all these news outlets, they want you to be offended over what they're offended, but they never stand up and say, "This is an offense to the Lord God of Scripture." But God's people need to do it. Write the third thing down. He would not be detoured by criticism or humiliation. Look at verse 28, family. Why family? "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, 'Why comest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down here that thou mightest see the battle.'" Boy, nobody can cut you like family can cut you. No one can sting. Most people don't know what buttons to push. Family knows all the buttons to push. But it didn't stop him. Look at what happened with the king, verse 31. I love this. "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent unto him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him,'" speaking of Goliath, "'thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" Remember, here's Saul, who's head and shoulders above everybody else. And David is just a shepherd boy. "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." It didn't stop him. You know what I find? Most of the time, the critic doesn't have to say it. Just the fact that you know they might stops us, especially now with all the social media. And so all of a sudden, for fear of what would come up, if we really took a stand and said, "This is an affront to the Lord God himself." Wow. Number one, you got to put them in everyday life. Number two, you got to carry an offense for what God is offended by. You're his child. Abhor that which is evil. Number three, don't be detoured by criticism or humiliation. I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever done the best you could and then had somebody say, boy, that was terrible. Rex, I recall in a trial, and boy, I was just doing the best I could. And you know you're in trouble when the jury keeps shaking their head every time you look at them. You just know you're in trouble. And we walked out, and the pastor's wife came to me, and she said, I thought you were a much better lawyer than that. And I said, yeah, I thought I was too. And all of a sudden, man, the devil got just the rung he needed. Somebody's going to try to detour you. Somebody's going to try with humiliation or criticism to get you off track. I walked out in the hall, and if I recall right, Charlotte, you were at this trial. And boy, we were doing the best we could. But the preacher's mother came up to me and she said, don't you listen to none of them. She said, I'm telling you, God's getting honored in there. She said, do you know how many times you've told that courtroom how to be saved? She said, I've marked it down. 16 times the plan of salvation has been given. She said, that jury's not against you. That jury's having a holy fit because of what they're hearing. She said, now, whatever you do, don't change your message. Go in there and go get them. And my staff, she was talking real loud. My staff said, boy, quiet down, ma'am. And I said, no, let her be. Just let her be. I need her. Do you know God's called you to be an edifier, an encourager? Oh, listen, don't let somebody stop you. You say, but you don't know the mistakes I've made. How many of you in this room have ever made a mistake? How many of you have made some that you're just thrilled nobody knows about? How many of you have made more than one that way, like me? Yeah. Oh, listen. God's looking for Davids. We got giants to bring down. But you got to put them in everyday life. And you got to be offended for God himself, not you, not the culture, for God. And then you can't be detoured by criticism. Write the third thing down and we're done. Excuse me, the fourth thing. You got to give God the glory. Not you, God. Well, Brother Gibson, boy, have I been guilty here, preacher. I give God glory, but I also want some for me, too. And God's going to share heaven. He shared his only son, but he's not going to share his glory. And when we let somehow that glory come to us, oh, my. We're wrong. We're wrong. I want you to look at what David had to say. These verses down here, and we've been through them. Verse 47, here's what he said. And this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to meet David. And David, hastened. Now, you got this. The Philistine's running at David. And so David decides to run at the Philistine. If I'd have been there to give him some counsel, I'd have said, son, try not to get too close to that guy. He gets close to you, you better run like a man running from an avalanche. You better beat it, because if he gets a hold of you, it's all over except the shout. That's not what he did. Here comes Goliath. David is hastening to get to him and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone stunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the ground. David said, I want you to understand something. I'm not doing this. God is doing this. He didn't get felled by a stone. He got felled by a stone that had God all over it. And that's what brought him down. I was in a trial, I'll never forget it, for a lady by the name of Agnes Rich, Christian school in Nebraska. And some of her school teachers always sat right in the front row, godly ladies. But two of them, when I'd be up there, talking, when I'd turn around, they'd be going like this. I thought, man, they got bad backs or what? And finally, at one of the breaks, I said, what are you ladies doing? And they said, we're just helping get God all over your stones. I said, what? She said, you're our David. When you sling it, I said, I want to hire you ladies to travel with me full time. Do you understand? If you're just in there giving it the best shot you got, an unsaved person can do that. But you have the strength of the Lord God Almighty. You can have God on your stone. But you got to put God in everyday life. And by God's grace, oh, this is huge. You got to not take the credit. And you can't be put off by criticism or people that want to humiliate you for one reason or another. And you got to be ready to say, Goliath, you're not going to have to chase me. I'm coming after you because you have humiliated God, and I'm going to be there. I made a discovery in that trial. The judge figured it out. The judge, who was a federal judge who they'd put over to this state bench for a moment, he said, every time something really goes your way, those ladies are... And he said, have they got some magic? I said, no. They got the Lord God of David, and so do you. Are you ready to put God on your stones?